Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, 1 verses 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my voice, or heed my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose." He says, "Since it is only the third hour of the day," 16, "say, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." It says, "In the last day shall come to pass, since God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my maid servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Glory to God. Glory to God. So we said, when Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet," he is explaining their experience from the scriptures. Which experience? The experience of Acts 2 from verse 1. And we said, for him to be able to explain that experience, it then means that what happened in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 from verses 1 was not actually suddenly. It didn't come to them unaware. Right? It means it didn't come to them unawares. And we said, Luke will employ the word suddenly because it is a reported speech. Right? Was that what we said? The reported speech. So he wants his audience to actually have a glimpse of what happened there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it was not suddenly. Like, it was not a sudden event. They were not unaware of the fact of what they were doing. Hallelujah. And we saw that Jesus spoke to them concerning it. Right? That they would put on. So, and it showed that what to put on, endure, it's one's effort, right? To put on is your effort. It's you taking or putting it on. So it's your own effort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and when Peter was to explain that experience of Acts 2, we saw that he explained that the experience will flow from the resurrection, right? Right? We saw that. From the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ. And we said the resurrection of Christ, or the resurrection, is not a past event. Paul warned, hallelujah, warned that we should be mindful of those who say the resurrection is past. Right? Because we saw that Paul don't use the word resurrection in the past tense, he uses it in the present continuous. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, that said, we also concluded yesterday that the resurrection is the forgiveness of sins to us, right? Right? That resurrection is the forgiveness of sins, which is the indwelling of the Spirit. Was that what we said? Right?
Yes, sir.
So, that indwelling, we say you cannot separate that experience. You cannot separate the indwelling from the forgiveness of sins. We said for the believers, forgiveness of sin is not a pardon we seek for. Forgiveness of sin is what we have received. Right? Was that how we explained it? This is what we have received. It's actually in the Greek, aphesis, the blotting. Hallelujah. But that's what we've received. And we saw that, we'll look at that as we move ahead. Hallelujah. In the course of the year. Glory to God. So this will actually give us a guide to what some of the things we'll look at in the course of the year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we say that experience cannot be separated. If a man is born again and he doesn't receive the Holy Ghost immediately, or if he doesn't receive the Holy Ghost immediately, then there's something wrong. And if he doesn't receive forgiveness of sins that same instant, then there's something wrong. I love the way Pastor Shego will put it. He said, if it takes a millisecond away, everything we've learned is void. So it is the same experience. Hallelujah. It's the same experience that we now explain as what forgiveness of sins. Do you understand? It's that same experience that is the forgiveness of sins. It's that same experience that will say that brings about God's righteousness to the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's that same experience that will make us say, oh, this is called eternal life. Hallelujah. It's that same experience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this experience, did we say this is God's glory? Right? We say it's the heaven and earth united. God united with man. Right? Right? God's marriage. Is that God's marriage? Is that God's marriage? Hallelujah. Is that God's glory? Or is this God's glory? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we said that the resurrection is not just an experience. Are you following me? The resurrection is not just an experience. Let's see how Paul used it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 15. Are you 1 Corinthians 15? I'll read from verses 12. Look at what Paul will say. 12 into 18. He says, I'll read from verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, we have found false witness of God because we've testified of God that He raised Jesus. And we raised up Christ, whom we did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Hallelujah. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiable. Hallelujah. So he uses the word if Christ is not risen. Now that word risen is the word egerio, a word that is in its present continuous, like you say, Christ is risen and is still rising. Are you ready? And he's still rising, or he's risen and he remains arisen. Are you following that? He's not, so he didn't use it in the past. Glory to God. The original was never used in the past. Something that has happened and is still happening. Glory to God. And we saw what that is today. Hallelujah. Right? Did we see that yesterday? Did we see that yesterday?
Yes,
so what is it? He's arisen and he's still rising. So that he's still rising is in what? The man that believes, right? Was that what we said?
Yeah.
When a man believes, that is that truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll explore that as we continue to. Hallelujah. But that is it. Glory to God. The prophet will say, he will see his seed and his days are prolonged in the earth. That is it. Glory to God. Glory to God. He is still right. Look at how Paul will put it in Ephesians 2. For the man who is not, who he says, and you he made alive. Is that? See, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses, that is sin. Did you see that? You he made alive. So when a man is born again, he is made alive. So the man is now, the man is identified with Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. Is identified in Christ's resurrection. Glory to God. Look at how Peter will put it. Let's see Peter. Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Acts 3. Are you in Acts 3? Look at verses 19. I'll start from verse 18. He says, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ will suffer, he has thus fulfilled. He says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out.
so that the fires of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Let me tell you how that construction actually is in the original.
This is how it is. It says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins being blotted out, when the fires of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord.
Did you see that? So, where is the sins blotted out? He calls it the times of refreshing. Comes from the presence of the Lord. So it's referring to that resurrection, which is the indwelling. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He now explains it in verse 29 and said, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Did you see that? Whom heaven must receive unto the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So, verses 19 will be Peter's teaching of identification. He says, repent therefore, metanoia, to change one's mind. He says, repent therefore, and be converted, that your sins being blotted out, when the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So, he's talking about that same experience. Hallelujah. Are you following that?
Yes, sir.
So, the apostles never spoke about the resurrection in the past. No. Hallelujah. So, we said the resurrection is an event. Or, we said it's not just an event, but an experience that produces several other resurrection, other experiences all around. I will say this is how the earth will be full of his glory. Right? Right? Genesis 1:11 is the seed will produce its kind. So Jesus comes and said, except the grain of wheat falls to the ground and abideth single, right? Right? So he identified, he's speaking about his death and resurrection, or his resurrection. Then he says, except it falls to the ground, that is his death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection, what happens? There will be several other resurrections. Hallelujah. So in that resurrection, he now produces his kind. All over the earth, when a man believes, that man becomes his kind. Hallelujah. When a man believes, he receives of that his experience of the resurrection. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So when a man believes, he's saved. And he receives this same experience all over. So the man who believes is now what? God tabernacled in man. Glory to God. That is the heaven and the earth. Heaven and the earth. Heaven and the earth. All over the world. All over the nations. And that is God's plan. Are you following me? That is God's plan. So we now say, what are the realities of this experience? We looked at some of them. But we took note of one very important one, which is what? That experience has made us who? Laborers. Hallelujah. Right? We call it the reality of the experience, right? Right? The reality of this experience is that we are laborers. We are what? We are laborers. Glory to God. That is to say, there is work to be done. You didn't receive this experience by works, but this experience begs works. Hallelujah. So there's work, there are works to be done. Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. Are you there? We're there, read. He said, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. This any should boast. Did you see that? That experience is not of works. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. So, did you now see? The resurrection is not their climax, but the beginning. Right? Can you now see? We should walk in them. And we said the prophets will rise the same way. We saw Ezekiel 36. He said, I'll put my spirit within you. Is it the resurrection? Is that the resurrection? I'll put my spirit within you. Did he not say, oh, that is you? That is there. No. He said, and I will cause you to walk. Did you see that? I will cause you to walk. So very important. Does the experience produces a walk? Hallelujah. And we say that walk is around the gospel. That walk is around the gospel. It's around the gospel. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 So, it's around the gospel. And in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read it shortly. We saw that the laborers are few, right? So he sent forth his men. The few laborers, he sent them out. Hallelujah. Are you following? Now, that is how it will get to the ends of the earth. That is how it will get to the ends of the earth. Through the laborers. And we are laborers. We are laborers. In the Lord's harvest. In the Lord's harvest. And what are we going to do? Now, remember we said when a man is the reality of this, the reality of this experience is that the man is a laborer, right? So, if I get on my assignment as a laborer in the Lord's harvest, and I win a soul, or let's say, and I get men saved, and I get men saved and filled, what happened automatically? That man that is saved is an harvest. I mean, is a laborer. So that means if that man is a laborer, what would the man do? A man tourism will be involved in the same labor in the Lord's harvest. Are you following me? And what are we doing? We are multiplying the Lord's harvest in the land. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Look at Matthew 9. I wanted to see something there. That's why I didn't want us to read that first, because I wanted us to see something there now. Matthew 9. Round up. Matthew 9, verses 36. He said, but when the people, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into his harvest. Did you see? When he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. Before they even started praying, oh Lord, send forth laborers. What did he do? Chapter 10, verse 1, he sent them. So they become the answer to that word. Did you get that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But rather than saying, I'm praying for God to raise laborers, and you are sitting in your house and praying the Lord. You're not out there. No! You are the answer. Glory to God. So the men you raise will raise men, and they will raise men, and they will raise men, and like that we are multiplying. Hallelujah. And that was how it happened in the book of Acts. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they were together in Acts, how many were saved? How many? 3,000. After that we had 5,000. After that we had, there were multitudes. Lord added to them. Hallelujah. Multitude, multiplication. Why? Because the 3,000 will not sit down. They will go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's the multiplication of harvest. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Acts of Apostles, I guess that should be chapter 6, there was persecution. They were scattered abroad, right? They did not just scatter abroad and say, ah, man, I'm not in Delta. Oh boy, it's not easy. It's not easy, I'm not in Delta. Let's just go ahead and do what, you know, man need to go and rest, you know? No! They were scattered abroad. And what were they doing? They were preaching. We get to see that. They were doing what? They were preaching.
Hallelujah. That is how the harvest was multiplied. We're going to see a whole lot now. Hallelujah. Let's see that multiplication before I show you one or two other things. How it happened. Hallelujah. So, Jesus sent them out here, right? In Acts 10, verse 6, look at it. Acts 10, verse 6. It says it's 12, verse 6. Verse 5, sorry. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaria, but rather go to the lordship of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach. Did you see that? He sent them to what? Preach. Matthew 10. He sent them to do what? To preach. In Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, Acts 1:8, he sent them to preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's now see the result at the first. Acts 2. Are you in Acts 2? Verses 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. How many souls?
3,000.
How many souls? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Very important. Now, they added 3,000 souls. Now, like as I told you, they grew. Hallelujah. Let's see something in chapter 6. Look at chapter 5 first, verses 14. It says, and the believers were increasingly added. It was never used in the past. Did you get that? Were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitude of both men and women. Did you see that? Multitude of both what?
Men and women.
Multitude. They had multitude. In chapter 6, verses 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were what?
Multiplied.
Is it multiplied or multiplying?
Multiplied.
It's multiplying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There rose a complaint against the Hebrew by the because of their widows and things like that. Hallelujah. So they were multiplying. They were increasing. Hallelujah. They were increasing. Now look at what happened. They chose 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied what? Multiplied what? In verse 1, they receive multiplication, right? Right? Here now, we are told, we saw something else. Multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Did you see that multiplication? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs. Look at verse 9. And there rose some from the from what is called called the synagogue of the freedmen, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Okay, let's just move ahead a bit. This was when they took Stephen, right? Okay. Sorry. Chapter 8. Verses 3. For Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging them off, men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Did you see that? Preaching the word. So, they went about preaching the word. They didn't go about sharing tracts. They didn't go about doing Facebook posts and saying we are winning souls on Facebook. They went about preaching the word. Preach means keruso, to speak, to shout, to announce. I remember somebody was glad one day and wanted to follow us to go and do evangelism. But the person was amazed. When we're like, okay, where is the tract? I said, tract. Did you hear what I said we are going to do? I'm going for evangelism. Evangelism, not tract. I'm going to share tract too. We're going to preach. Preach. He said, I know we are going to preach. You know, when you share the tract, you tell the person Jesus loves you. just very simple. Just ask yourself this. So let me show you. How many times I did the tract? How many times have you? He said, go and preach. Preach, not tract. So you know, you share the other say Jesus loves you. What's been up? Go and preach. It's good news. Hallelujah. Go and preach it. If Jesus loves you, okay, preach it. Hallelujah. Preach it. Some people have short, let me tell you what short change. Some people think sharing the flyer of your church to people around is evangelism. That is not evangelism. Hallelujah. That is not evangelism. Evangelism is not to give people flyers to your church. Evangelism is you go out to preach. Hallelujah. To preach and to teach. You preach. You tell people about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be lazy. Not from us, yeah. Don't be lazy. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Don't be lazy. You go and preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, where do I preach? So I don't know where to preach. Everywhere. Go into all the world. Everywhere. Hallelujah. Everywhere. Paul was in Corinth. He preached. Are you following me? He was in Ephesus. He preached. He was in Athens. He preached. In fact, they caught him. They caught Paul, and they were going to try him. He preached. Hallelujah. Always learn to take advantage of opportunities to preach the gospel. There's something I used to say to some of our pastors years back. Let me say it again. Always be sensitive when you get close to people. There are the people that are not saved. Most times, those people, you get close to them so that you can preach to them. Don't waste such opportunities. Are you hearing me? Don't waste such opportunities. Are you listening to me? Don't waste such opportunities. Preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So very important. Now, in sending them out, that is where our focus is on today. In sending them out, look at what he says to them. That's where our focus will be on for this session. Verses 7. He says, as you go, he says, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? Verses 8. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. He said, freely you receive, freely give. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
I see it. He said, as you go, he said, heal the sick. Heal the sick. Look at Mark 16. Look at this critically. Verses 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Say, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. It says, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they will drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So, it comes with signs. Signs of the believing ones. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Signs. He says, they will heal the sick, cleanse the leper. They will drink any deadly thing, shall no by no means hurt them. So, in preaching the gospel, or let me start like this, the believer is well equipped by God. You are not deficient of anything. You are well equipped by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in preaching the gospel, there are signs that accompany the preaching of the gospel. There are signs that accompany the preaching of the gospel. And one of those signs is healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Let's go back. Matthew. Chapter 9, right? I mean chapter 10. So he says to them, to heal the sick. He repeats the same thing in Luke. Look at Luke 10. Luke 10. 9, he's sending the 70 out. In Matthew 9, he sent the 12. In Luke 10, he sent 70 out. Look at verses 8. He said, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such thing as are set before you. He said in verse 9, do what? Heal the sick then, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Do you see that? Heal the sick there. Let's see Jesus. Matthew 4. Let's see Jesus. Matthew 4. Look at verses 23. Now look at verses 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, he said, teaching in their synagogue, he said, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases amongst the people. Did you see that? He was preaching and he did what? And he healed the sick. Chapter 9, verse 35. He says, and went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. Are you following that? Amongst the people. So these are accompanying signs. Look at what Peter was saying in Acts 10. Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and with power he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Say, for God was with him. So, in preaching the gospel, there are signs that follow. Hallelujah. Signs that follow. What are these signs? You know, in the Old Testament books, in the prophets, we saw also when Moses will preach to them, they will have signs, right? Miracles, signs, and wonders. They saw that, we've seen that before now, right? They had miracles, signs, and wonders. I would say those miracles, signs, and wonders, you don't look at those things, right? Your attention should be on what it was pointing to. Was that what was said? What was said around it? Glory to God. Glory to God. Because the miracles, signs, and wonders are pointing to a greater event. Are you following me? The same thing too is the same thing. Because there, what event was it pointing to? The gospel. Are you following me? So, in the ministry of Jesus, we saw it. That what? There were miracles, signs, and wonders in his ministry. And every of his miracles pointed to his resurrection. Every of them. We saw the wine, John 2. That was on Friday, right? Jesus' wine will be for the Spirit, right? And it says, and why was that miracle? To show that in the resurrection, man will receive the wine. Man will receive the wine. So remember, we say waters will be used for what? To represent what? The nations of the world, men, right? So water turned to wine. We show that in the resurrection, I take that back. Hallelujah. When he said he turned water to wine, he's showing that in the resurrection, in the new birth, man will receive what? The Spirit. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Man will receive the Spirit. Amen. 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 So all Jesus' miracle pointed to the reason why he came, the resurrection. All of them. All his miracles. So one very important miracle, or one very important sign that accompany, that speak of the fact of the gospel very loud, is the healing of the sick. Very loud. You know, even the dead raised back to life is the fact of the gospel. Hallelujah. When he got to Lazarus' house, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what you need to see. So whatever miracle he did there was to point to that fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, healing the sick. I promise us a healing teaching this year, right? We'll do it. Hallelujah. I think. So we'll do that. Hallelujah. We'll have it in the first quarter. That I'm sure is the teaching meeting we have. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So quickly, when you hear healing, healing.
Hallelujah. When you hear healing, healing has to do with restoring things back the way he ought to be.
That's healing,
right? So when he's sick, he's healed. He is restored back the way he ought to be, how things ought to be. Hallelujah. That best describes the preaching of the gospel. How are things supposed to be? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26. Let's make man in our image. That is how it ought to be. Are you following me? So that is one sign that he speaks so loud of what to preach. Healing the sick. Glory to God. Glory to God. To restore back to normal. To restore back to how it is supposed to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, these signs follow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, years back I had a friend who once told me, sir, okay, how do we know? I said, what if you go and lay hands on the sick and the sick did not get healed? Question I asked him is, who gave you the instructions? Jesus, right? I said, Jesus, I gave you the instructions. Do you believe him? Yes. And then why are you bothered about it? He said the sick will get healed. So you go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the sick doesn't get healed, doesn't mean you should be discouraged. No, you move ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Let me say this. I remember the years back, I actually had to go pray for a friend of mine. I and Tunde, we went to pray for him. And we prayed. We laid hands on him. And the young man began to recover. Oh, we're happy we left. But within 2 days, we heard that he was late. Hallelujah. You know, normal, I felt bad. I couldn't eat. I was angry. You know? I was angry. But God called me now. You know? Hallelujah. I felt angry. So, and discouraged. Thank God for him as a friend. So he came around. Sunday, he came around and then he spoke to me. Because it was like, you're not the only one that went to Lehen. Now he to Lehen. There is that. Calm down. In fact, he said something that, see, today, I don't lose sight of. And it really helped me. Helped me to lay hands the more and see results happen the more. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you what he said. He said this word to me. He said, the fact that this person died is not a reason for you to get discouraged. He said, rather, that should even stir you up to lay hands on more people. I'm serious. I should stir you up to lay, because you see, he said, because look, be it as it may, the moment you laid hands on him, he began to recover. I hear you. And then he told me that, see, as you laid hands on him, you have obeyed scriptures. Scriptures say lay hands on the sick. You understand? And you did. You obeyed scriptures. Read as it may, that then that guy began to heal. Well, we did some other finding, and we saw that. Wow. It also did help me in the healing ministry. Discovered that years after, I had to employ some of those things I learned. It became a learning call. That we don't lay hands on him, and they said he was getting better and becoming fine. And then now began to have little of those pains all around again, and they now took him outside Lagos
to another state, and within some few hours then he got there, it became worse, and you know, he then left. But that was, that is not really what I'm concerned about. Was what he said. He said that should make you lay hands on people even more. That when a man is sick, he's under, he said Satan has got a hold on him. Wow. I said, wow. You know what I did with that period? When he was done telling me, the thing sank in well. In fact, they knew me in the hospital. I was always going to lay hands. I laid hands. As in, I was laying hands. Like, hallelujah. He doesn't say that, doesn't that. In fact, at the point I started telling them when I get there, I said, I've come to discharge men. And then, I've come to discharge men. And I was laying hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it accompanies the preaching of the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, very important. Don't say because you laid hands on somebody and you didn't see results. You didn't stop. No! Glory to God. You lay more. Hallelujah. You lay more. Lay hands. Lay hands. And you know, as a minister, because you are a minister also. Hallelujah. So as a minister, when you lay hands on the sick, first thing you must know is that you must expect what? A result. You must expect that. You must expect a change. You must expect healing. You must expect that that person be healed. Glory to God. You do that. Look at Peter and John. They were going into the synagogue and they saw that guy who was crippled at the gate called Beautiful. What did Peter say? He said, "See, man, God, have I not?" He said, "Father, I told him, look on us." He said, "See, man, God, we have none." He said, "But what we have, we give. What I have, I give." He said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And they did what? They dragged him up and the guy limped and walked. I am the guy limped and walked. The guy limped and walked. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you must learn to trust the power of God that's resident in you. Amen. Amen. So when you go out to preach, you should heal the sick. In fact, why? Because these are signs that follow the preaching of the gospel. I hear me. Let's see something in Acts 2. Okay. Now, before we get there, Acts 2. Just quickly look at Acts 2. Let's say Acts 2? Acts 3, sorry. Now, after that miracle, look at what happened. Verse 11. The lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, do not marvel at this, or look intently at us, as though by our power or godliness we've made this man walk. But God of Abraham, he now started preaching." Hallelujah. What did he begin to do? He began to preach. He began to preach. Because that is what the miracle is for. Hallelujah. They are called signs. In the Greek is called Simeon in the Greek. Simeon in the Greek. It means what points to another event, like a pointer. Are you hearing me? Like, you know where a signpost is. So, miracles, healing is a signpost. That post is not the place, but it points you to the real thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the healing is to point to the main fact. Just like hypodegma. So, we can call healing is a hypodegma. Hallelujah. It points to a greater event. The greater event of the resurrection. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So, when you go out to heal the sick, when you go out to preach the gospel, you can call for the sick. Hallelujah. You can call for the sick. You can call for the sick. And that is why I remember telling us that, you see, never, when you're going out to preach the gospel, make sure you are, how shall I put it now? You don't just do it anyhow. This is not just to God. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you can flow with revelation gifts. Even in preaching the gospel. You can get to a place. And then, by revelation, you know that there are those who are sick there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By revelation, you know, there's someone sick around you. You can know. I have done it not once, not twice, not thrice. Hallelujah. You can just know by revelation. Oh, there's someone sick here. There's one of our pastors who was praying one time, and he got an instruction to go preach to someone, and he saw who the person was, and he went there, and as he was about to talk to the person, he now got some details about the person by revelation. And when he told it to the person said, if the person was amazed, then he now preached the gospel. Because he knew that that was a sign. Not to get there and say, you see, I'm the prophet. You see, I'm the prophet. No. That was a sign. And he preached from there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't just take evangelism casual. That's why you know we pray before we go out. We don't pray the way we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have revelation. I said, God. So you can call for the sick. You can call for the sick. Hallelujah. You can call for the sick and lay hands on them. Lay hands on the sick. Now, when the sick is healed, you know, it's normal. It happens like that. It happens like that. I can remember a time I told us this. That was years back. I didn't really know that I'm supposed to now use that opportunity to preach. But, you know, I allowed paparazzi to enter my head. They came to call me as someone was possessed with the devil. I've always told us this story. Hallelujah. And I ran. You know, I ran there. As in the person was using fire to burn himself. Burn himself. Seriously. And they couldn't hold him. So I ran down there. On getting there. No. One of our brethren there called me. So I ran down there. On getting there. I just said, in the name of Jesus, come on, you demon, to go. And I said, you are king and you are free. And the guy answered, what am I doing here? You know, the guy recovered himself. And what am I doing here? Everybody got they took him to the hospital. Funny enough, they've taken him to the hospital in the morning. They've taken him to the hospital that same morning. And the hospital discharged him. Because they couldn't find any trace of what was happening to him. So they asked him to go. And when he left, he started doing it again. So that was like, now they took him back to the same hospital that had no medication, that had nothing to do to him. And they were just, so when that happened, the guy was asking himself, what am I doing here? All the nurses gathered, and it was late in the evening. All the nurses gathered. You know how nurses could be. Everybody gathered. People gathered, family and friends gathered. And you know, when I just laid head down, he's well. Everybody just looking at me, chairman. God, I can't do that anymore. But that was an opportunity lost. That was an opportunity lost. Because the moment that guy recovered, in fact, the guy recovered and he sound till tomorrow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But that was an opportunity. To now minister the gospel even to the guy and to them. But I left. Former paparazzi, prophet of the year, and I left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So those are opportunities. So when you lay hands on the sick, People will gather. Hope you know that. People will gather. People will raise God. Hallelujah. Now is not the time for them to now bring. They will now go, I'm from Linda Ikeji. I saw her. I just saw that miracle. We say, yeah, the Lord is good. That's a miracle. Those are one of the things we used to do. Slap your ear. What's the meaning of that? Hallelujah. Oh, God, preach. When people gather like that, you preach. Hallelujah. Don't start entertaining questions. No, don't start saying, you know, we are prophets of the land. We don't need to talk too much. There is always tendency for you to, do you understand? But you know, you must understand the reason for it. It's a sign. And the sign will point to the real thing. What is the real thing? The gospel. Are you hearing me? Will point to the what? The gospel. The gospel. Are you following that? The what?
The gospel.
The gospel. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So you must always be smart, be intelligent. So, very important. So we can go, we can go out preaching the gospel, get to rooms, get to houses, and say, and by revelation, you would know that there is a sick person. Right?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell us what happened. That was a time ago. I went somewhere to preach. And on getting there, I didn't even know that the people I was about to talk to was a Muslim home. A Muslim home. I didn't even know. But I know I was led that way to that place. So I got there. So when I entered, I had this. Remember, I told us that the way I was taught evangelism is door to door. It's door to door. I've told people that I was taught evangelism door to door. I'm not taught to be walking and be looking upstairs. Anybody say, why this one is taught? I don't want to do those things. I want to move from this house, the next house, as in to the fact. That's how I was taught evangelism. But the people were walking and they were looking at statues. Let me teenager. Hallelujah. Make one of these days I will take us on that kind of talk. Some people. Some few. I'll just let a few people. When I'm going out like that, I'll take some of us. That's how I do evangelism. That's how I thought. Just knock. Now knock. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, you yes now. Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Right? Anyone? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And then you enter, and then you preach. Hallelujah! And then you preach. So I don't know until I enter that it was a predominantly Muslim family. You know, and at that point, Hallelujah! So I just entered, and immediately I got the revelation of someone who is there, but the person was not around, and the person was sick, and the person was on a chair. Not that the person could not walk, but what the person had was like something like emphasizes, big leg. You know what I mean? And then I said, there's someone there who's having a leg issue. Can they bring the person out? I came to pray for the person. Very important. Hallelujah. That was how I started. So they brought the woman out. And then I laid hands. Do you understand? The lady was looking at me. I told him, I understand. Do you understand? Though before then, she used to have pains all over her leg. She stand and walk. And she was moving. And she was saying that the leg, the pains are reduced. So what? You know, you could kind of see joy on their faces. That was the opportunity I needed to preach about Jesus. And I did what? I took advantage of that opportunity. Are you hearing me? Never let such opportunity go by. Never. Are you hearing me? Never. Never. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? Never let them go by. Let's be intelligent about it. Let's be intelligent about it. Glory to God. So when you go out to preach, make sure when you are praying to, hallelujah, hallelujah, you flow with revelation. Hallelujah. Things are revealed as I go. Things are revealed as I go. Things are revealed as I go. Remember, we said when it comes to when believers are gathered together, what is the best gift? What did you say the best gift? Or trans gift, right? Now, when we go out to the unsaved, what is the best gift? Power gift. That's what we said. So the power gift is the best gift. Hallelujah. And the power gift will flow also from revelation gifts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could flow from revelation gifts. It can be revealed. Hallelujah. It will be revealed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Or we can dare say, get to a place. Is there anybody sit here? Let the person come out. Dare say. Dare say. Hallelujah. Dare say. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I knew of a man years back, that was like 2007. That, 28. It should be 27 because I was still around my beginning of 27, I was still around my first year. So we came back and I went to the hospital to pray. Only for us to discover that the person we were praying for was HIV positive. So we laid hands. The husband came. You know, we laid hands on her. Husband came, he was, you know, surprised. Then we preached to him and the man was saved. We will take advantage of that. Hallelujah. Learn to be intelligent. Learn to be intelligent. Hallelujah. The power gift is for the preaching of the gospel. Remember, we said it will what? Glorify Christ, right? Hallelujah. For the preaching of the gospel. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we begin to round up now. In Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 10, you know, we said he sent out the 70, right? And he told them in verse 8 that they should, verse 9, that they should heal the sick. Always when they go out, learn to heal the sick. Oh, many much more miracles abound. Remember what I told us about the Holy Ghost? That in this year, make sure no one is sick around you that you do not lay hands on. And that instruction will receive. Any sick person you have around you, make sure you lay hands on the person. That around you will mean if you go out to an evangelist and you see a sick person, lay hands. Hallelujah. This year and beyond. Hallelujah. Don't allow anybody who is sick go past you without laying hands. No matter what the sickness is. That is headache, whether it's COVID-19, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Why would he say heal the sick? Because the power of God is bigger than sickness. Are you hearing me? No matter the name of the sickness, whether named or unnamed, the power of God is bigger than it. Heal the sick. Don't get afraid. Heal the sick. You see, most times the problem with people is too many informations. You've got too many information about a particular sickness. It's contagious. It's conscious. It's diseases. Heal the sick. Hallelujah. Stay away from too many informations about some certain things. And some things you don't need to know the details about it. Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Mistakenly, one day I went to lay hands on someone who was having a ruptured leg. Laid hands. Even I held the hand. I held the legs. I knew that when I was done laying hands that day, I could actually feel the pulse. from the injury on my hands. But I did. So I did. My mindset was that when I get home, I'll wash my hands and then, you know. And I got, you see, laid hands, did all those things. And I left the hospital, dashed down home. And lo and behold, they served me the meal that I could not resist with. And I saw it. Immediately, I didn't even know when I just dipped my hands. And I, you know, I was eating well. Until I don't remember. Yeah! Glory to God.
The Lord.
And I remembered a sermon like that I listened from Kenneth Hagin. He said, we don't catch the flu, we kill the flu. Yeah. Hallelujah. We don't catch the flu, we kill the flu. Immediately that was stuck. I said, I killed it. I laid hands on the person, I killed it. I didn't contact it. I killed it. So I continued it. Unlike me, that I always wash my hands before I eat. Hallelujah. But after that, I was now much more conscious. Because common sense is important. Hallelujah. Common sense is important when it comes to healing. Hallelujah. Common sense. Or working in the miracles. Hallelujah. But because I didn't wash my hands, doesn't mean I'll not start to, my stomach. No. See, today, if I look back, I remember how it was. But yet, I killed it. Hallelujah. So when you go lay hands, don't think you're going to contact it. You're going there to kill it. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Man, I imagine that. Those are, you know, imagine now coming and say, those are no confession realities. Glory to God. Confession realities. Okay, Luke 10. Now Jesus told them to heal the sick, verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They came back. Woo! Come and see miracle. Woo! 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 Hey, miracle! Baby. And Jesus said to them, I see Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I was the one that gave you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy, and not to trample enemies. Trample enemies? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. That spirit is subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. So, listen to this. What did Jesus do? They came back rejoicing for the miracles that they've done. But Jesus said, no. What you should rejoice for is the word salvation. Remember I told you, the character we must have is what? The character of joy when men are saved. Right? Was that what we said yesterday? So, very important. So, this is what Jesus has done here again to them. Hallelujah. So, this is also a point that will show you that when you do miracles, don't stop there. Don't stop there. They will say, "Whoa, come and see. Oh, where's Facebook? Where is Twitter? Come and see. Miracle." No, that is not the main thing. The main thing is what? You preach the word. You preach the word. It's an opportunity to preach the word. Then your joy will not be that men are saved. Hallelujah. Your joy will not be that what? Men are saved. Bible says there is joy in heaven over a what? A sinner that repents. So that joy in heaven will be us. We are the ones expressing it. Hallelujah. We are the ones expressing it. Glory to God. We are the ones expressing it. Amen. Amen. Oh, just thank him where you are. Oh, just thank him. Because much more miracles abound. As we go teach and preach. Oh, much more miracles abound. Just thank him. Be on your feet. That's what thank him. Much more miracles abound. As we go teaching and preaching. Much more miracles abound. Oh, much more miracles about. Much, much, much more miracles abound. Oh, much, much, much more miracles abound. And as they abound, many more are saved. Oh, much more miracles abound. And many are saved. Many are saved. Oh, we receive the harvest. Many more bountiful harvests.